from the number one sports site in the world.
Yahoo!
This is Yahoo Sports Radio.
YahooSportsRadio.com.
Welcome to the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast.
Yelovich is an own goal! It's an own goal!
With your host, Joe Mago. From Yahoo Sports and Yahoo Sports Radio.
It's right! It's a landslide!
Joe Mago and all the insiders from the FC Yahoo Soccer Blog bring you coverage of soccer across the world.
Premier League,
MLS,
Champions League,
La Liga,
Serie A,
and Bundesliga. It's all the coverage from soccer across the world.
This is the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast.
Oh, it's good in!
Right now. From the Yahoo Sports headquarters in Playa Vista, California, here's your host, Joe Mago.
So did you miss us? We definitely missed you. We have finally found time in this busy summer of soccer to stop and talk about what's happened so far in, as Kobe Bryant pronounces it, the Copa America Centenario and the European Championships. I'm Joe Lago, editor of the FC Yahoo blog on Yahoo Sports. And joining me on this episode of the FC Yahoo podcast here in Playa Vista is Shahan Ahmed.
I've been busier than a concession worker during a rain delay.
And Alex Baker.
I'm an American now. You can call me. I've already done that.
Okay. And last but not least, Joey Golino.
Hold up, guys. I'm on the phone with Arsene Wenger. I think I'm going to turn him down like Jamie Vardy just did.
But, you know, we've never called out Alex Baccarin, who makes this podcast possible. So we've got Alex, a.k.a. Alex the producer. Great. Says nothing. Okay. But he waves to you all. Guys, the Copa America reaches its conclusion this weekend. Sunday's final will be a rematch of the 2015 Copa America final with Argentina, the world's top-ranked team, seeking revenge against defending champion Chile at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. But the day before the final, the United States men's national team will have its own rematch from the tournament opener when it lost 2-0 against Colombia in the third-place game in Glendale, Arizona. But before we look ahead to the weekend, we must recap what happened in the semifinals, namely the clinical and thorough 4-0 dismantling by the Argentines over an overmatched American side. With really the U.S. sports spotlight on him, Lionel Messi came up big with 2 assists and a goal off a free kick that will probably be the lasting memory of this Copa America. My question to you guys to start this off is, what did we learn about the U.S. men's national team from this 4-0 loss to Argentina? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Go ahead, Joey.
Let's see. What did we learn? I learned that for all the bluster of the Klinsmann tenure and for everything that he's promised and for everything that, you know, he has accomplished some things, we are still depressingly conciliatory when we play these big sides. You know, after the match, Klinsmann talks about how we're too respectful of them. And even players like Jeff Cameron say things like, we're too respectful of them. Well, that's endemic. It's from top to bottom. It's the way that we line up. We don't go at these guys. I think back to the first game of the World Cup in 2002 when Bruce Arena, you know, told the team going against Portugal, who was heavily favored at that time, you know, have the first, it was something along the lines of like, have the first foul, win the first free kick, win the first corner, score the first goal, obviously, you know, like take it to them. And this is just another example of the United States not necessarily wanting to take it to one of these teams, these Argentinas, you know, the Germany in the World Cup. And even though that was only a 1-0 loss back in the World Cup in 2014, it speaks to me of we can do all we want in friendlies. We can do all we want against like the lower tier countries, the countries that don't have as much of a history or maybe have a similar history and of the same level that the United States is. But then when you really go up against the world's best, something happens where the U.S. is too respectful, and it never bodes well. If the U.S. just goes out and attacks the game, what was the worst that could have happened? Lose 4-0? Guess what? That's what happened anyway. So for me, like, I was just hearing that same language over and over again about how the U.S. was too respectful, and I think it needs to stop.
I mean, I see what you're saying, Joey. I don't entirely agree with that, because I do think that U.S. lining up in the 4-3-3 for most of the tournament was really positive to see them actually going after teams or trying to. And actually, you know, in the last couple of group stage games, they looked pretty good. In the quarterfinal game, they looked good. I think those suspensions really, really hurt them, and it made it difficult, because Bobby Wood was actually, as much as he wasn't necessarily the guy scoring goals, he was a guy that was putting pressure on the defense, was helping with those outlets, was helping in that attack, and also helped get Dempsey going. Zardes actually had a pretty good tournament, I would say. And that allowed for that system to work. But if you don't have those pieces, they kind of had to adjust. And you know, Wondolowski didn't have the best game. He seemed a little bit outmatched out there. And you got to remember that. I mean, that first goal, that completely did crush them. And there were so many mistakes on that. I mean, the clearance right to Messi, the defense not really acknowledging the fact that, hey, this guy's just going to run in. And then Brad Guzan coming into no man's land, where he had absolutely nothing he could do to stop that. And then, you know, heads kind of dropped from there. Guzan really didn't have a good first 10 minutes, I think. But I don't think that was a respect factor as much as I think they really genuinely were outmatched for the personnel for what they'd been doing in this tournament. And I like the fact that they were positive, that they actually had some consistency. Yeah, 4-0 is never going to look good, but to have Messi pretty much, you know, manufacture three of those goals, and then even the fourth goal where he technically didn't get an assist, he actually got the hockey assist because he gave Lovetsi the ball on that run, and then Lovetsi puts the ball in for the finish. I mean, yeah, you got undone by Messi. It's going to happen. He's not, you know, the U.S. isn't the only team that's happened to, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with the U.S. in that game, because we, you know, been playing well. Obviously, we're never going to beat Argentina, I don't think. But it was like a regression. It was like suddenly these guys look starstruck. They look like they're standing off these guys, unsure of what to do. At one point, Argentina are two goals up, and they're pressing us, and we're not pressing them. And I just, I don't know. I didn't see the effort, which I think is the disappointment. I was predicting maybe a 3-1 loss or something. I wasn't predicting a capitulation, which I think is what that was. And had Argentina wanted to really embarrass us, they could have easily run up a Chile-sized scoreline on us. So it's pretty disappointing.
I think what we learned from this game is that when the U.S. is going to go up against an opponent, you know, Argentina is the best team in the world. But just the team selection, Klinsmann choosing Chris Wondolowski to start up top with Clint Dempsey. They stayed in the 4-4-2, but the success of the 4-4-2, you know, they switched from the 4-3-3 halfway through. Was it the Paraguay game? I can't remember. But when they transitioned to this 4-4-2 that was working, it worked because Bobby Wood had that pace, mm-hmm. where Clint Dempsey used his playmaking ability to find someone who was actually making the runs. That was threatening, made the opposition back line, you know, stay on its toes.
Yep.
Chris Wondolowski is a goal poacher. Anyone who knows anything about Major League Soccer knows that Wando is a great goal scorer, but he doesn't have the pace that was going to threaten anyone on that back line. And I was there in Houston, and the level of we just couldn't believe it in the press box. And there are some people who are defending the selection where Wando can provide some of the, you know, defensive backtracking that you need in this game. No. Klinsmann had been talking going into the game, we're going to take it to him. We're going to go eye to eye. Okay. You know, you got to replace three guys. And we knew Beckham was going to come in, right?
Mm-hmm.
We knew Zusi was going to come in.
Right.
It was that selection, who was going to be up top with Dempsey, that was most telling than anything. Because, you know, he could have gone a number of ways, but they didn't have that pace. They didn't have that speed. And if there's anyone who was scared, it's Jurgen Klinsmann by that mm-hmm. team selection.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
And I think that you kind of have, Pulisic immediately comes to mind. I know he got on, but play out wide. He's a guy who's best, and that was Joe. You're right. The just understand what Sean was saying about wanting to keep the formation similar to what it's been, and that's a good idea because it has been positive for a bunch of the tournament. But if you're ill-equipped to do that with some of the suspensions that you had, I agree. I don't know why you put Wando in there. The justification was that he was, just like a replacement for I was reading that he keeps that Bobby Wood role in there, and I don't understand it from that perspective because I don't think it's true. And the team selection was not set up for this to succeed. And, everyone was clamoring for Nagby and Pulisic to start. And while normally that can sometimes be kind of fanboyism on the behalf of whoever you're rooting for, because, as we all know, soccer is not that simple. It's tactically and all those things. Like, it's not just easy enough to say, well, these two should start and maybe wreck the entire formation or turn things around. I do think there was an opportunity to bring that out in this game, to trot that out. And for whatever reason, Klinsmann didn't do it.
Follow up on that, so do you think that Pulisic will start in the third place game? Do you think he should start?
I think that this is kind of a good opportunity. I'd like to shout us all out, too, real quick, because I think we all predicted USA-Colombia, or most of us did, in the third place match would be our opener, or would be a rematch of the opener. I think this is a good chance for him, too, because you lose the match, it kind of sucks, but it's not the end of the world. You're not playing for anything ultra important here. It's a good match to trot out a 17-year-old and see what he could do. So I think he does start.
I think this game is still important. Shahan, you wrote that this was the Argentina game was the most important game in the national team program's history. This game still means something. Finishing third place for this program that hasn't won any major international tournament, it means a lot. And they're going to have those three suspended guys come back, and they're going to stick to, they're going to roll out the same guys. You're going to get Bobby Wood back, Jermaine Jones, and Alejandro Bedoya. And Michael Bradley, who has really gotten some stick for his comment after the game against Argentina, where he was really dismissing the third place game as, do we really have to play this? Am I just paraphrasing? This is still a big deal. The U.S. isn't anywhere near where they can just dismiss a third place game. I remember when Lithuania was an up-and-coming basketball nation, and didn't they finish third, I think, in the Barcelona? But anyway, we're not there yet. We still have things to play for. And if we're going to go and if we have the chance to finish third in a major tournament behind, Argentina or in Chile, that is something to hang our hats on. So I want Klinsmann to treat this like if it's a World Cup final. They have something to play for. Shahan?
Yeah, I want to say, I think it's a measuring stick on how far this team's come from the start of the tournament until now, because it really is tangibly. You can look at that 2-0 loss against Colombia that really wasn't competitive. And if you're playing the exact same team at the end of this tournament and you can trot out the exact same side and essentially come up and be competitive or even win this game, then I think it says something about the fact that your team actually experienced some growth. And yeah, I understand, Pulisic should get out there because he is the future of the program and that's how he's presented. But I think that for this tournament, you have to play it for this tournament from beginning to end. And I thought Pulisic would have been the right guy to put in last game, to be honest with you, because they were lacking options. But right now, you look at it, it's like Jermaine Jones was a huge miss in that game, obviously. I think Kyle Beckerman is not nearly the player that Jermaine Jones has been in this tournament. So I think that was where you could kind of see, this is going to be a problem from the get-go. And, as much as Bedoya has been good this tournament, I don't think his loss was felt nearly as much as Jermaine Jones was. And that kind of exposed Michael Bradley, who didn't really have a good game at all either. You really can't say anyone on the U.S. had a great game. Well, Zard is actually, I think, would be the only one you could say, hey, he stayed pretty consistent through and through. But you got to remember, right now, this game, for me, I do think it means something. The reason I said that the Argentina game meant so much is because it brought in a newer and wider audience than probably had ever experienced the game in the U.S. for something that actually meant something, on top of which you're getting to see the best player in the world. This game is more for the U.S. soccer fans who follow the program to actually get some validation on where the team is and see and kind of judge, hey, are we actually making progress? Is Klinsmann, Klinsmann's job should not be secure as much as it probably is because he met his goal of making the semifinals. I think this particular game should have the impact of, hey, this is an actual game that judges how you're doing as a coach, because we have a tangible, you had game one against this team, and now you have a third place game against this game, team about a month later.
Yeah, I think with Argentina, I think that we maybe missed an opportunity, and the opportunity wasn't really necessarily to win the game, but I think it was to make a statement about U.S. soccer and about the way this team plays, and to go out there and say, look, we can not beat a team like this, but not get blown out, not get humiliated. And we see it in the Euros, how a team like Northern Ireland can fight Germany and just lose by one goal. You know, there was definitely opportunity to make a good account of ourselves, possibly by starting Zardes up top and bringing Pulisic in on the wing, or maybe putting Beezer in the starting lineup and moving Fabian Johnson up. There are alternatives to what to Wondolowski. But that said, I think against Colombia, we can still maybe make that statement if we take that game seriously and go for it against Colombia, who I think are ripe for the beating right now, actually.
Guys, do you feel like this program is headed in the right direction? And I ask that, you know, this, it's easy to have this negativity from a loss, you know, like of that magnitude against Argentina. But let's you know, with, you know, they lost to Colombia, they won three straight. They were played, as Shahan mentioned, they were actually taking the game to teams. They were going to lose to Argentina. It's just, it was disappointing that they lost in the way that they did. But do you get a feel that the program under Klinsmann is headed in the right direction?
I think that you have to say, in terms of that question, I don't think it's necessarily headed backward. I do think that there's starting to be a little bit more consistency with the formations, with the selections. You definitely have a group of younger players who are starting to make an impact, and you know, you could easily see them developing over the next few years. I do think that your attitude as a team kind of says a lot about the way you're headed. So whereas last summer, you know, the U.S. kind of laid an egg in the Gold Cup third place match, if the U.S. comes out and plays determined in this match, that's really all you can control. Because I look at it from, you know, Colombia, there's no guarantee Colombia is going to want to play this match. Look at the third place match from the World Cup a couple summers ago, where Netherlands absolutely dominated Brazil. Brazil didn't want any part of that match. So you never really, you know, in terms of like what you can take away from finishing third, I would take away the fact that the U.S. was determined enough to finish third more so than who the competition would be. Because, you know, again, to that point, I think that one of the problems for the U.S. against Argentina was that Argentina came into this tournament highly motivated. They, you know, they hear the talk. They, Messi especially, I'm sure, hears the talk about how he's never won a major international trophy for his country at the senior level. And they wanted to change something about that. And a motivated Argentina is going to beat a motivated United States, you know, 8 times, 9 times out of 10, whether they like it or not. But I think it would be a good stamp for, you know, this tournament for the U.S. perspective and going forward if the team came out motivated. And maybe you don't beat Colombia, but if the attitude is there, the attitude is right, the belief is there and all that, I think it's further evidence that, yes, things are moving, however slowly, in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, the U.S. was the best contributor from CONCACAF, and to do better than Mexico actually does mean something.
It does to me.
Yeah. I think that the team, you know, yes, the Pulisic thing is always going to come up because there are fanboys like Joey who want him to play every single game. But I think that the fact that he didn't get in there actually shows that this team is showing, hey, Nothing is given, everything is earned. And that actually says something for a young guy who's touted as the top prospect. There were plenty of opportunities where they could have just said, hey, this tournament doesn't really matter, it's kind of a one-off, we just want to get this kid a bunch of experience. Instead, they said, no, we're going to bring you along, but our goal is to put out the strongest side, and you're not part of the strongest side. And unfortunately, you know, he is still developing, he's a kid. As much as I think this experience is going to help him in the long run, I think that kind of showed, that type of consistency and that type of resolve did show that there has been some progress. I mean, prior to this, it had been really, really tough to watch the U.S. play. And that led into that first game of the tournament, too. That was a tough game to watch. So when you look at where they were to where they've where they're ending this tournament, assuming they put out a competitive game against Colombia, I think you have seen some progress. I don't think I'd necessarily give Klinsmann a lifetime contract, but, you know, I think he probably makes it past this and to World Cup qualifying, assuming that he can, you know, pull the U.S. through that as well?
I think the three things that I've seen from this team in this tournament that are true signs of progress are, one, you know, he's finally settled on a back line, right? I mean, there's been a revolving door really at the center backs. Yeah. And finally, it seems like he's settled on this partnership with John Brooks, who, you know, has really had a really good tournament, and Jeff Cameron. And then you have Fabian Johnson on the left and DeAndre Yedlin on the right. And, you know, that's it. I've always had a problem with Klinsmann not team building, not doing anything to building a team. And at least that back line with Guzan, there's some, you know, as stable as it can get with this talent pool. And they have performed, you know, pretty well. The second thing is that we have formations. We know how they're going to come out. You know, so it looks like when they have a chance to really take a game to someone, they're going to show up in a 4-3-3. And if they want to back off a little bit, it'll be the, you know, 4-4-2 with a lot of defending from the forwards. And it's just, you know, the whole experimentation thing, I think it was what was getting everyone annoyed. Like, can you just settle on something? Can you come up with a plan? And I think Jurgen has done that in this tournament. And the last thing is, you know, he has worked in one kid who was really developing well, and we have, I think some of us picked him to lead the U.S. in scoring for this tournament. But Bobby Wood has surprised me. I was not a Bobby Wood guy, but I think what we've seen from him, the way he can work, do all the running for our aging forwards that we have. Right. But he's willing. He can be dangerous, and I think he's a new element that's kind of refreshing to see out there. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think generally this was a step and a half maybe forward for the U.S. Just don't lose 4-0 again in that third place game.
Yeah, I think in the short term, I think you're absolutely right. Going into World Cup qualifying, we know who our center backs are. We have a good alternative to Jozy Altidore. You know, I think maybe there's some questions. Some of our midfield guys they're not getting any younger. I don't know that we're like seeing great long-term progress in terms of how the team plays. It seems like we kind of went back a little bit to like the Bob Bradley method of just trying to outwork teams. But I think that maybe that's what we're good at, and maybe we need to not dismiss that going forward.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you guys, so speaking of Jozy Altidore, when he comes back in, is that signify the end of Dempsey and he kind of takes that spot away in terms of being that third guy in the front line, or how does he fit into this?
I was going to ask you guys that. Like, really, I was going to ask you, does Dempsey keep his spot in this team? That is kind of a conundrum there, where, you know, Klinsmann likes to have that big center forward, and really the attack has been based around him. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, Dempsey comes through; he just keeps scoring goals. How can you not have his place where it is right now? I mean,
yeah, I agree.
Because he, again, you know, Jozy and Klint both don't have that pace that can really make defenses, you know, stay on their toes.
Yeah, and if Jozy's kind of a hold-up guy, I mean, that's, I think, what he does more than actually score goals. He holds up the ball. Yep. But you've got Wood, who does it in a different way. With I think where Jozy does it with strength, Bobby Wood does it with pace, which to me seems much more electrifying and much more, it occupies the defenses a bit more with his pace. So I don't know that you necessarily want to bring Jozy back and restore him to his assured place as guaranteed starter.
Yeah, it's for me, it's a question of when the U.S. under Jurgen Klinsmann was humming the most was during the run-up to the 2014 World Cup, where the U.S. won the Gold Cup, dominated qualifying, topped the hex, and a big part of that was Jozy Altidore and what he brought to the table, because in addition to his hold-up play, he went on a monstrous run of form in terms of scoring goals for the national team. However, because he's been out of the national team picture for so long, and obviously not entirely his fault, now that you do have Klinsmann and the team kind of settling in more on a different tactical approach, I think you have to find out real quick when he comes back if he can offer you that same kind of threat in terms of what he was doing before. Because if he can't, you know, and this is, again, where I'm not paid the big bucks to make this decision because it's a tough decision, and I understand that. But if you give him a certain evaluation period and he can't provide something that's better than what you've been committed to very recently, then I think you just have to keep going forward with that, because a tactical reversion or changeup at this point, I think, could be a dangerous proposition given how the U.S. has kind of looked flimsy at times in terms of World Cup qualifying.
Yeah, I think it's funny that we get into the point where, you know, we're like, Jozy Altidore can't get in the team because Bobby Wood needs to be in there. That's where we've gotten now. Just want everyone to recognize that.
Hey, that's Bobby Wood headed to Hamburg. Bobby Wood.
Yeah,
that's right.
Guys, let's quickly go through, give our predictions for the weekend. We'll start with a third place game. How do you see USA versus Colombia? We'll go around the table.
I'll be an optimist. I say U.S. wins 2-1, comes out with a determined effort. I don't think the Colombians are going to be entirely engaged in the game, but you know what? That's not Klinsmann and the U.S.'s fault, so I say U.S. wins 2-1.
Shahan?
I'll say 1-1 penalty kicks in an exciting game going back and forth, and the U.S. will squeeze through on penalty kicks.
I like that. You haven't seen PKs yet. Alex?
I'm going to back up Joey on the 2-1 for the USA. I think we're going to come in motivated. I think Colombia are maybe a little bit broken right now because I think their tournament started off good and went downhill, whereas ours started off not so great and went uphill. So I think we have momentum. I think it matters to us on home soil, so I'm picking USA 2-1.
So the jingoist in me says 3-0 US all the way, Bobby Wood with two, Clint with two assists. Nagby comes on, he scores, and then he taunts Klinsmann for not playing him. But I really think I'm kind of torn. I'm going to go with what Shahan said. It'll probably be an open game. I want to say 2-2. It goes to PKs, and I think the U.S. will somehow in the craziest penalty shootout we've ever seen. The U.S. comes out on top. So we have to predict the final, Argentina and Chile. Joey, how do you see that shaping up?
I think that when I watched the final last year, I just remember how Argentina was unlucky not to win it late when Messi laid off that ball to Lavezzi down the wing, and they couldn't convert the chance later on. I think it was Higuain, but I don't want to lambast him if it wasn't him. But Argentina was really close to winning that final. They lost on penalty kicks. That was in Chile. Chile was highly motivated because they had never won a major international trophy. I think as well as Chile's playing, the worst thing that could have happened to them almost is what happened last night, and they had their role kind of stunted by the rain and the weather. And even though they ultimately did advance, I think Argentina's clicking right now. They're motivated. I'll tip Argentina 3-1.
Ooh, Shahan.
Yeah, you know what? I have to pick Argentina as well because, I mean, frankly, I picked them pre-tournament. I think everybody here did.
We did.
The thing that I noticed about this game is obviously Vidal's going to come in. And honestly, I think Chile is going to go after Argentina early and really, really fast. And they have those frantic players with Alexis and Vidal who just they kind of bum rush you early. And I think Argentina should be prepared for that. They should know that that's coming. And the only reason I'm picking Argentina is because Messi's in the form of his life right now. He's just carving apart defenses with his pass more than his scoring, to be honest with you. And so I'll take Argentina 2-1 with them going up 2-0 and then Chile getting one back and then it getting real nervous at the end but somehow pulling it out.
Cool. Alex?
I'm definitely going to go Argentina. They've been the best team in the tournament. They've scored 18 goals. They've only allowed two. I think they just don't want to be third time unlucky. I think they're really serious about winning this. So I'm going to go Argentina 3-1.
I think we all picked Argentina. I pick Argentina to win this final. I think it's going to come down to a dramatic. It's going to be a tight game, back and forth. Argentina wins a free kick close to goal, and it's going to be Messi, who gives us another lasting memory for us to look back on this awesome Copa America centenario. So it'll be 1-0 Argentina, and another bit of Messi magic. We got to go to a break. When we get back, we will talk about that other tournament across the Atlantic, the European Championships, Euro 2016. And we will take a look at what's been a wacky tournament and these really just shocking round of 16 matchups. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast, direct from the FC Yahoo Soccer blog at yahoosports.com. And if you're looking for a sports radio morning show that is just a little bit more entertaining and has a little bit of fun, along with all your coverage of sports every morning, check out the Steve Zabin Show, direct from Yahoo Sports Radio.
I guess your friend Roseman here, Scott, your people, doesn't keep kosher, huh? Pepperoni and sausage.
I guess not.
Shonda. Yeah.
Well, my people, a guy whose last name ends in a consonant.
You're allowed to say sausage, right? You just can't eat it. Or is it?
Do what you want, but no, by the rules of kosher, yeah, you're not supposed to eat pork product.
Eat, but you can say the word.
Of course you can.
Oh, okay, good. Just check. If you were to rank your pizza meats,
here we go.
Go ahead and rank them.
Which
pepperoni?
Throw me some meats.
Pepperoni.
You've got
one.
Meats, right.
Canadian bacon.
That's not bad.
Two.
Yeah.
Sausage. Three.
Okay.
Hamburger meat. Four. No, wait a minute. Barbecue chicken is three. Sausage, hamburger.
Pineapple and ham? Those are okay.
No.
Hawaiian?
Steve Zabin. Mornings, 6 a.m. until 10 a.m. Eastern on Yahoo Sports Radio. Listen live and check out the podcast of The Steve Zabin Show. YahooSportsRadio.com. It's time to get back to everything. Football and soccer from across the world. This is the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast from Yahoo Sports Radio and Yahoo Sports. Once again, your host, Joe Lago.
Welcome back to the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast. I'm Joe Lago, and I'm here with Shahan Ahmed, Alex Baker, and Joey Galino. Guys, let's talk about this Euro 2016. It is down to the round of 16, and boy, the bracket is just looking insane. On the left side, we have at the very top Switzerland against Poland, and then the winner of that plays Croatia, Portugal, and our favorite Cristiano Ronaldo. And the bottom of the left-hand side of the bracket is Gareth Bale's Wales against Northern Ireland, and Hungary against Eden Hazard's Belgium. But then on the right side of the bracket, guys, for this round of 16, it is really nuts. At the top, Germany against Slovakia. But then you have Italy against Spain. And then there's France, the host, having to go up against the Republic of Ireland. And at the bottom corner of the right side of the bracket, it's England against Iceland. So, with those round of 16 matchups set, we're just going to go straight to, well, let's talk about who is the most informed team. Who is right now the best team at the Euros right now? Joey.
I think the most informed team, kind of surprisingly, and I'm not saying it's based on overall potential, but just right at this moment, I really like Croatia. I think that, you know, they won their group, obviously. The only setback they've really had was that the two goals they gave up late to the Czech Republic, where they kind of took their foot off the gas. So what happened the next game? They keep their foot on the gas the whole time through versus Spain, and they rally for a thrilling victory. And I think that you have some of the contenders coming into the tournament, Germany and France, namely, have done what they've needed to do to advance and win their groups and all that. But neither one of those teams has been – I don't think they've hit that top gear that people always talk about, that gear we know they can hit. So in terms of a team that's kind of playing close to its potential and is rolling at the moment, I like Croatia.
Shahan?
I think it's really strange that absolutely no team has collected 9 points. It's really tough to see that, like, how that happened. You know, I actually think Spain, I agree Croatia's really been playing well. I think it's tough for me to pick against Spain. I mean, even the game they lost to Croatia, they had a penalty kick. Why Sergio Ramos is their designated penalty kick taker, I will never understand. I mean, but Morata has been good. Iniesta has been incredible. They still have an experienced back line. They have arguably the best goalkeeper in the tournament. They're just really solid front to back. And they have really good balance. Nolito's been playing well as well. I think Spain is one of the better teams. Granted, I'm probably not going to take them in the semis when we get there, but they've looked good so far.
This is the day where I'm just agreeing with Joey, but I'm going to go Croatia too, because I think, you know, they beat Spain without their best player, without Luka Modric, without Mandzukic. I just think they got a lot of depth. They've been playing really well just on the basis of performance and results. I think they've been the best team. So I think they are the informed team.
I've liked what I've seen from Wales, and it's not just because of Gareth Bale. I really like that midfield with the, you know, you've got Joe Allen and Ledley, what are we missing in that trio?
But Ramsey,
Aaron Ramsey. Yeah. You know, those guys have really. It's been the Gareth Bale show, but really, when you look at it, those three have been key for Wales. But I agree with Alex and Joey that, you know, Croatia, for them to not only just beat Spain, but wow, just the level of the fitness, and maybe it's the young legs on that team. They didn't have Luka Modric, and then they produce, you know, the winner at the end. That was impressive, but. You know, it's only by a hair. There really hasn't been anybody who's that, you know, so much better than everyone else. So let's go straight to our predictions. We're only going to predict who, you know, pick your final four, who's going to make the semis, and then you can, you know, choose your European champion. So we'll start with Joey.
Well, I think we'll start with the top half of the bracket. I think that, like I said, I really like what Croatia's doing. Arguably, their most dangerous game before they get to the semifinals could be that game against Portugal that they're going to play, because we all know Ronaldo can go off on any given day. But I think they get past them. I think they beat Switzerland or Poland, although the Poles are playing pretty well too. So I think that they get to the semifinals, Croatia does. When they get there, God, I really want to say that Belgium, like, this is the time that they'll turn it on and they'll realize this potential of this golden generation and get to the semifinals. But I like the fight with Wales. I agree with Joe. I think that Wales is going to make the semis against Croatia. And then for the bottom half of the bracket, which I believe represents, you know, over half the World Cup winners of all time are stocked down there. The big matchup to watch, I think Spain gets past Italy. I think Germany beats Slovakia. That Germany-Spain match is going to be gargantuan. I still think Germany's the best team in this field, so I'm going to take them over Spain. And then at the bottom, even though France has been imperfect, I think that they're good enough to get past Ireland. And then England, you know, will bottle their game somehow if they even get past Iceland, which is making the most out of its limited potential at this point in time. So to recap, I've got Croatia versus Wales on one half, and I've got Germany versus France on the other half.
I think Joey just looked at my cheat sheet.
Is he looking over your shoulder?
Yeah, I have. Well, I'll go one step further, though. I have Croatia, Wales, and Germany, France as well. But I think Wales will make it to the finals. But we'll get there in a second. Go ahead, Alex.
Okay. Well, I've got Croatia. I think this Belgium golden generation is going to pull through. So I think we're going to have Croatia, Belgium. I think Italy beats Spain. Germany, as we know, has a problem with Italy, so I think Italy goes through. I'm going to say Iceland's going to probably beat England, because England will bottle it. France will beat them, and then it will be France-Italy on that side. And
Italy?
I think so. Italy's good at these tournaments. As Ruud Gullit once said about Italy, they don't need to play well to win tournaments.
All right, my final four. I am going with Portugal against Wales. It'll be the Ronaldo versus Bale show. I said off air that there'll be solo runs back and forth, not passing to anyone. It's going to be fantastic.
Loser leaves Real Madrid.
and then on the other side of this bracket, you know, I want to believe in Germany, but there, you know, even though Mario Gomez scored and he got the start in the last game, I just don't know why they don't. You know, just put Mueller up top. I think, you know, they went with Mario Götze, who did nothing for Bayern. It's going to be Germany, Italy in the quarterfinals, and I see Italy going through again. I think Alex is right. I think, you know, Antonio Conte, the next Chelsea manager, has got it right so far, for the most part. But they're going to meet France. You know, France always does well on home soil in these big tournaments. So it's going to be, to recap, Portugal versus Wales, Italy versus France. Am I giving my winner yet, or are we going around to pick our...
No, okay. I want to add something before we get to that round.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, as much as I want to agree with Alex and say that it's Belgium's time to come through, I just think their coach has not been nearly good enough this entire tournament. He's made error after error, and that's really the only reason I'm picking against this team, because I just don't think that...
Yeah.
I don't think he's there.
That guy is so arrogant. When the U.S. played Belgium in the round of 16, I could not stand that guy's arrogance, so I am rooting for a Belgian flame out and that guy getting losing his job.
You'd also be rooting for the sweatpants goalkeeper for Hungary, so that's a win-win right there.
Yeah. And then the other thing I wanted to add, I mean, you're saying you don't think Germany has it. I mean, the tactics that Joachim Löw uses, the scratch and sniff tactics, how can you go against
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Yeah. I just know if he subbed me off, I probably wouldn't shake his hand on my way to the bench.
Right.
All right. So let's get – Joe, I think you already – did you give your champion already? But let's go around. Let's talk about our final Euro final predictions.
Well, I hinted at it, and I do think Germany is going to win. If I can detail real quick, I think as great as Wales has been, you know, they're almost facing a mirror image of themselves in terms of work rate and just commitment in Croatia. No, Croatia doesn't have anybody as singularly talented as Gareth Bale, but Slaven Bilic was on ITV, I think. I could be wrong about that, but he was on some UK channel analyzing this team, and he was talking about how tough they are and how much they represent kind of that nationality. And I think that they've done a tremendous job, and they've worked hard, and they do have their fair share of talent too. So I think Croatia will beat Wales and get to the final. And then, you know, that Alex quote that he just mentioned from Ruud Gullit is interesting, because I think that you could say the same thing about this German side in terms of they don't have to play their best to win this tournament, because there's just an absurd abundance of talent on that team. Gomez might have offered, you know, a chance to solve their scoring issues, whatever they may be, with his performance last game. I agree with Joe. I think that, you know, you could always put Müller up top. There's just so many options. This is a team that left off Marco Reus, who would start of the squad entirely, who would start for pretty much anybody else in the world. And there's so much talent here. And I just, if France was playing better, maybe. I know they're playing on home soil. I know that's lifted a lot of teams in the past. But I think that they get by France, and I think that they beat Croatia in then. And I think Germany keeps this run going and, you know, wins back-to-back Euros like France did about 20 years ago, and Spain just did. You know, they won the last two, obviously, but I really like Germany, have from the start. Don't think they've played their best yet, and I think they will.
Yeah, so the Marco Reus thing, they announced that on his birthday that he didn't make the squad. You want to talk about cruel. That is, I don't know what he did to Joachim Löw in a previous life, but man, it must have been something serious.
He must have joked about his bad habit.
Maybe he didn't shake his hand. That's what it was. He refused to shake his hand.
Wait, are we going to talk about Leander's fart story now or what? Come on.
No, let's go.
I thought Alex,
the producer, has to get out of here.
It's a very natural segue.
Okay, so I have Germany winning, beating Wales, because I think Wales is going to make it through, just because so far I think Gareth Bale's been probably the best player in this competition.
I would agree.
And I think that I don't see that slowing down, especially with the team unity and the way that Ramsey's looked in support of Bale with Wales. I think that they actually have one of the best balanced teams, even if it's not the most talented team. And then I think Germany, you know, you're talking about putting Müller up top. Well, Müller's still never scored in the European Championships. Not once. This guy's probably going to end up being the greatest World Cup goal scorer of all time. And he's never even put one in the back of the net in the European Championships. So with
he's just
that
waiting
said,
to score that first goal. Put him up top.
Yeah, so with that said, in the final, I think he'll get his first European Championships goal, and Germany will win.
Cool. Alex?
I'm going to say that Belgium's golden generation plays perhaps the second good half of soccer they will have played in this tournament, manages to beat Croatia. Meanwhile, France will get past Italy, And France will win thanks to a goal from Arsenal super striker Olivier Giroud.
How many chances, though? You got to predict the chances that he's going to have.
The 15th chance he takes.
All right, there we go.
is Alex just like in for Leander today? You picking Belgium to go to the final?
Yeah.
Only because
yeah.
you couldn't pick the Netherlands.
Hey.
All right. Here's how I see the final shaping up. It's going to be Wales against France, and I am picking France. I think it's going to be Dimitri Payet producing some magic and winning it for the host nation. Guys, thank you. We have to go. Thank you, Alex. Be sure to subscribe to the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast on iTunes and check out our cool blog. We got a lot of good stuff in the FC Yahoo blog on Yahoo Sports. For Shahan Ahmed, Alex Baker, and Joey Galino, I'm Joe Lago. You have been listening to the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast. Go Iceland!